The girls today in society go for classical poetry, so to win their hearts one must quote with ease Aeschylus and Euripides. But the poet of them all who will start 'em simply raving is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow.
Just declaim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a hell of a fella.
If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what Tony told Cleopatra.
If she fights when her clothes you are mussing,
what are clothes much ado about nothing? Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow. With the wife of the British ambassador, try a crack out of Troilus and Cressida.
If she says she won't buy it or take it, make her take it once more as you like it.
If she says your behavior is heinous,
kick her right in the Coriolanus.
Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
Think thou, and they'll all kowtow.
Odds bodkins, all kowtow.
Cole Porter wrote that. Brush up your Shakespeare from Kiss Me Kate. Harry Clark and Jack Diamond singing. Bill Frisell, Ron Carter, and Paul Motion before that from an album they did together. And we heard Pre-Polly. My name is Irwin. I'll be back next Wednesday from 3 to 6 Eastern. Stay tuned for Hot Probs. Coming up next, filling in this week for Ken and Andy. 7-second delay, not on this week. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City in Rockland County, 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. So stay tuned for Veronica and Jen, Hot Probs.
took so long to realize I can still hear her last goodbye. And now all my days are filled with tears. Wish I could go back and change these years. I'm going through changes. I'm going through changes.
I love that song so much.
Me too.
Jen.
Yeah.
Here we are again.
Hey.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
It is really good to see you.
I haven't seen you in so long.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. Have we seen each other since the last time we solved everyone's problems?
I don't think so. We solved everyone's
darn
problems.
Darn. And then we retired.
Like, I'm done. Catch you later, loser.
Our lives are perfect. So I'm Veronica.
I'm Jen.
And we're gonna solve all your problems today if they're not too big.
Yeah.
We can't tell you how to hide bodies or anything like that, so don't even bother asking. And our call-in number is 201-536-9368. 201-536-9368. Jen, what kind of problems are we good at solving?
The easy ones, the basic ones. We should say a caveat. Neither of us are therapists nor licensed for... Are you licensed for anything? I don't think I'm licensed for anything. I don't even have a driver's license.
Neither do I, girl.
Holy crap, we are unlicensed.
We're unlicensed, but you know what?
But we've lived.
Therapy's a racket. Yeah, you know what I was thinking? You know what uniquely qualifies us to give advice to people,
What's
I think?
That?
The fact that we are two... We are two middle-aged women living in New York City, and we don't have full-time jobs.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is
yeah,
really
highly
true.
Resourceful people.
Yeah, we're survivors.
That's right. We are survivors. Oh, we're survivors of many things. We can give you some survival tips.
We can totally give you survival tips.
Yeah.
And advice. So call in, ask us questions.
Yeah, 201-536-9368. And while we're waiting for your calls to stream in, I got a problem. Somebody sent me a problem.
All right. Give
yeah.
me a problem.
It's juicy.
It's juicy.
Mm-hmm. It's juicy.
Somewhat disgusting, somewhat appealing. Juicy problem.
That's exactly what this problem is. It
exactly
is somewhat disgusting and somewhat appealing. Okay.
All right.
Dear Hot Probs, I've lived in New York 10 years and finally got my own suite pad all by
Ooh,
myself.
Nice.
Something I've been dreaming of. Should I leave after only 2 months to move to Budapest to marry someone 20 years younger than me to clear land and start a little farm? This is a true story. Signed, Farming Potential.
Ooh.
Yeah. You want to let that one sit for a minute?
Yeah, I'm reflecting.
Yeah.
20, okay.
I got feelings about this.
Okay, bring it. What are
you feelings? I got thoughts and feelings.
Okay, I want to hear thoughts.
Well, my initial reaction is... you know, it just depends on what kind of cliche you want to be. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's in the entirety
you know
of life.
Yeah.
What kind of cliche do you want
to
be?
Yeah, but especially this problem, which seems to me to be a certain kind of problem.
Yeah.
That a certain type of person has.
Do you want to speak on the manner of the person?
It's a person. It's a type of person that I call the Peter Pan.
Oh, I think I might be.
You know what I'm saying? You might have met him.
Yeah.
There's lots of them. There's lots of them running around New York City.
Yeah, I might be one. I think. When I look at all my IKEA furniture, I'm like, that's pretty Peter Pan.
What makes IKEA furniture Peter Pan?
I don't know. I just always imagined when I got to be foreigner. Uh-huh.
Yes. I would just dump that.
Get rid of that. That I would have like heavy furniture. Do you know uh-huh. what I mean? Like furniture that was hard to move
right.
and solid. Whereas like IKEA furniture, not hard to move, not solid.
Wow. This is what you imagined adulthood would be like.
Not what I'm living.
Oh, no, no, no. Heavy furniture.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, that is so interesting.
Yeah, like permanent put down. But I'm a bit of a gypsy, so I always thought that at some point I would stop doing that. Like our farming friend here.
Right. I don't know how much furniture he has, but yeah. Well, I want to get your take because I have a very definite take on this, on this prob. But I want to hear what you have to say first because, as I recall, you're the nicer advice giver. I don't want to scare the listeners away all at once.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think that I'm a New York lady, and I would say if you get a good sweet pad in New York, you don't give it up. I don't know. Is that lame?
No, that's a very New Yorker answer.
Your own affordable, amazing apartment, like really, what could you? Well, this is me though. This is my personal. Again, I'm not a licensed anything, mm-hmm. even a driver or a hairdresser, nothing. But I feel like, you know, I glamorize in my brain what farming is. Like, in my brain, farming is, like, me in pigtails with, like, soft sun. And I'm, like, milking a
cow. Are you wearing gingham in this fantasy?
Yes. Of course. What else would I be wearing? And it's, like, and I farm at, like, 10 a.m. I don't farm
right.
at, like, you know what I mean? Right. Like,
the perfect hour for farming.
Yes, and my hands aren't chapped. You know, but I think actual
and
farming.
And you're making lots of money?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think actual farming is way, way, way less glamorous than that. Now, I'm not saying our farming problem friend doesn't realize that. He or she may have, you know about actual dirty, you know, nail broken, messy hair farming. I don't. So for me, I think I'd be sorely disappointed when I went to live with my child spouse person and then I had to actually get up early and, you know, do smelly things.
Your child spouse person. Well said. Well said.
That's me. Yeah. Though. So I say mm-hmm. I vote for keep your hot apartment and, you know, have some Ben and Jerry's and mourn the loss of your child spouse person.
Okay. Well, we land in the same place on this one.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, my reasons are slightly different.
Okay.
You know, I think that, you know, what I found from looking for apartments in New York mm-hmm. is that there is no, like, if there's one sweet pad, there's another sweet pad. There are sweet pads
really?
Out there. People, yeah, don't get fooled. However, I think that if your choice is between, if you're actually vacillating between keeping a sweet pad and marrying somebody and moving to another continent
right.
to farm, then perhaps you're not that committed to that idea. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's a big buy-in.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And if the apartment is calling you, then you're not, it doesn't seem to me you're that committed to that buy-in.
Right, like you kind of think that because it's you're troubled by it, then that means that you clearly kind of don't want to do this big change.
Like if it's even a question in your mind,
right?
You know what I mean? To make this ginormous leap, you know?
Yes.
Then I say no.
I hear you.
I say no. So, farmer, dreaming farmer. We've made a ruling, and the ruling is stay in your hot in your hot pad. But if you move, let me know. Yeah. I'll take your apartment in a second.
Give us the hot pad address.
Exactly. Is it in Brooklyn? Yeah. I'll take it.
I might even swoop over there now with cash.
Right.
Get it. Right up from under you. Problem solved. You got to go, buddy. go meet your child's best friend.
I had to meet your child, a man. Shoot, I don't mean to. I hope we're not dissing on the bride but calling her a child bride. But there's something that really tweaks me about this, like, you know, 20 years younger bride. It's a whole other side of the story.
It is a, yeah.
That's the Peter Pan aspect of it to me is oh, shoot. Oh, I'm going to say some mean things.
Oh, go for it.
All right.
This is our good cop, bad cop routine. Then I get to say, really nice things, that's what I like.
That's right. Okay. All right.
Set me up. I will
fall into line. I'll play along with that. Yeah, there is something about, you know, I just noticed, you might have noticed them too, men who... You know, as what's his name said in that movie, like, he keeps getting older, all his girlfriends stay the same age. You know, men who keep dating, you know, younger women in order to, like, I don't know, fool themselves that they're not going to die, or try to get their, you know, mishigas over on somebody who is not as experienced with that mishigas. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not about it.
I will say, okay, in my personal experience, when I have dated people who are considerably younger than me, not my current partner, he is older than, not by much, but he's older than me. But when I've dated people younger than me, I will say there is something to like always being the smart one, like the one who knows stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know? Like, because amongst...
Totally, yeah. It's great. It's great to be the smart one. It's great to be the one who knows everything.
Yes. And like the, you know, because amongst my peers, I'm like, I know nothing. I'm just, you know, whatever, lowest.
Oh, man, I'm your peer, and I feel like you know so much.
Oh, thanks. But when I'm with younger, when I'm with like a, you know, a very young person, they're like, you've been to Prague? And you're like, yeah. But, you know, and it makes you seem really cool. So I do sort of understand how it makes you fall in love with yourself a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Because there's like someone's looking at you from a different lens, different perspective. They're looking at you from like... a wide-eyed, like, wow, you've lived, or whatever.
Well, I know. That's exactly the trap I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I feel like it keeps people from growing up. But I don't even know if I feel that way about women, really. But I feel like it keeps men from growing up.
Right. I see. So you think, like, that they might stay...
Yeah.
Sort of at their 25-year-old self. Or
completely,
whatever.
Yeah. They'll stay unchallenged. They don't, you know... Yeah, there's a real, I don't know. And I'm not knocking all May-December relationships by any means. I know of some great ones, but I'm just saying there's a danger. There's a danger there, and one should pay attention.
Yeah. Hey, May-December listeners. Is it May-December? Is that the right month? May-December listeners, if you're having a great May-December sitch, call in and tell us about it.
Yeah, prove us wrong.
Prove us wrong.
Yeah, we're wrong occasionally.
I'm wrong, like, yeah, all the time. But yeah, call in and tell us how great it is for your older person or your younger person.
201-536-9368. Yeah.
Why do you think it's May and December? Like, not January. And...
Not January, December, because that is too big of an age. Or maybe it's not. It's a very small age difference. Who knows? Those months are right next to each other.
Right, depending on what year you were
exactly.
born.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What month were you born, Jen?
I'm in April.
Oh, really?
What are you?
I'm May.
Taurus? Yeah.
Yes!
Oh, my God, I love
Girl.
Taurus. Except when
you
I
sure
disagree
do.
With you guys. Except when I disagree with you guys.
We never did. You and I never disagree.
On anything.
No. We agree on everything.
Absolutely. 100%. You're reaching in the mailbag? It's a real mag. It's a real bag, people. You can't see it, but it's a real
bag. I wish you guys could hear it rustling, but.
Sure.
That's
the sound of a mailbag.
Nice. Nice mailbag. How archaic is that? It's like saying video store.
Oh, remember
mailbag? I do. Well, I never went to Blockbuster, but I do remember video stores.
You never went to Blockbuster?
I'm sure I went to Blockbuster, but I didn't typically go to Blockbuster.
Where did you go?
Well, I went to Kim's Video.
You are so cool. That
so
is
cool.
So rude to everybody else.
What?
Because we all went to Blockbuster.
It did not.
Because we were nerdy people. You went to
please.
Kim's Video. That was the coolest one of them all.
Well, it was just the one by the first apartment that I ever had.
Wow.
So that's why I went there. And then there were other ones. There was always your local video store.
I worked at it when I was a teen. Okay, so listen up, teens. When I was a teen, I worked at a video store and I got fired.
For what?
Well, they said I was messing up the because it was this was back in the day, people, and they said everything was cataloged by numbers. It was kind of almost like the Dewey Decimal System.
Whoa, another throwback.
There we go. I'm bringing it. I'm keeping it real. But it was kind of like the Dewey Decimal System. So you had to like all the like videos. It wasn't alphabetical order, like in the back where we worked. It was like 489.7 or whatever, and that's how they were in line.
It wasn't grouped by director or something that made sense?
Maybe for the people, but where we, because they just put the cases out on display for the
right.
people, and then they would bring us the case and we'd fill it with the video. And apparently, I was filling all the wrong cases with the wrong videos. But, you know, I do have to say, and if you're listening out there, Abby or Rose, because that was the name of the video store, Abby Rose Video. If either of you are listening, I really think it was your cousin who was a drug addict. I truly think that it was not my nerdy Catholic schoolgirl self. Like, I think I was trying hard and getting the right numbers. And I think your cousin, who had some issues, was the one who messed it up.
You know,
but
this
I got
is,
fired, not him.
I got some more. I got some advice on that note.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to hire family members that have substance abuse issues. I'm just going to say that as a blanket statement. Leads to trouble.
Doesn't.
I know your family wants you to hire them. It's like, oh, give them a chance, etc. I don't know. You just take a page out of Jen's book.
Although, no.
Let's learn a lesson.
He's doing fine. He got to stay. I was the one who got fired. I almost said a word I'm not allowed to say. I got shafted.
We got to be so careful. That's all right. I know where the dump button is.
No, I was the one who got fired. He was fine.
Well, this is a great seg into our next hot prob.
Bring it.
Oh my gosh, this one is so. This one's a very. I really love this problem. It's very modern. It's a very modern problem.
Clearly mailbag over here.
Oh, yeah,
have a
mailbag.
Great
answer. Let's reach into that mailbag. Okay, dear Hot Probs, I have an extremely embarrassing problem. Oh,
ooh,
promising.
I love it. Juicy.
I was, that's right.
Juicy problem.
I was co-working with someone over Zoom this week. Normally, my video is turned off. Oh, all right, I'll just let that sink in. However, I shared my screen at one point to show my coworker a file. Sometime in the aftermath, I took the opportunity to look at some penis pictures that my sweetheart sent me, and I realized I did not turn off my screen share. I quickly turned it off, but alas, I think it was too late, as my coworker was extremely frosty to me after that. What do I do? Should I try to get ahead of this and talk to my coworker? Should I go straight to my supervisor? What do? I'm freaking out about possibly losing my job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, would you lose your job, though? This is just your coworker, right?
It's true. I mean, I imagine that, yeah, like that's a fireable offense in some jobs, I'm sure.
I do have...
Because if you're on company time.
Oh.
Looking at some
oh, it was at
pics
the...
of the D. A sweet, sweet D. Let's hope it was a sweet, sweet D. Yeah. If you're going to possibly lose your job over it.
Because then you...
Because otherwise...
Then you should be fired.
Exactly.
Like, you know what? Wait.
Yes.
It was at the... See, this is some... Okay.
Yeah.
It was at the... I assumed Zoom was something you did at home. Is that like a home workplace? So you were at your home.
Right. Yes, you're at home. But they were having... They were co-working over Zoom. Yes.
So, but
this really is. I'm getting vicariously mortified just thinking about being in this person's position. Because
this is terrible advice.
Go
Don't
for
anybody
it.
Take this. Remember, I do not even have a driver's license. Can you just lie about it and be like, I don't know. My boyfriend was on the computer again. That's what he likes to do. Compare and despair. What do you... I would just lie about it, I think. That's
terrible
advice. Well,
okay, what would the lie be? I'm dumbfounded. Like, what kind of a lie would you tell?
Well, I don't really know how Zoom works, but I'm imagining you could just be like, computer glitch happened or something. I've never seen these before. What is this
right.
alien-like shaped creature?
That's I think... is that a thermometer? Yeah.
Just feign surprise. Clutch your pearls, feign surprise. Clutch. Like, my mother was on here earlier. I had no idea what she was doing. I can't, I'm stunned.
My cousin has a substance abuse problem. He was playing on the computer when I went to the bathroom. I don't know.
He got Jen fired, and now this. Right.
Damn. Well, I think that lie would have a lot more legs depending on how old you are. Like, if you're 60... Oh. And you're like, I have no idea
right.
how these pictures ended up, like how they, I barely know how to turn on my computer. Somebody set up Zoom for me. You know, like, I mean, I think you could get away with it if, you know, say if you're late middle age. And also because, you know, truth be told, you know, there is the, how do I say this? There is the, like, you know, completely false, well, there is the misconception out there that people in late middle age do not get down and have sex and have right. pics of the D sent to them.
Right.
Which is a lie, people.
It's a lie.
Yeah. On the bright side, like, everybody can look forward to late middle age. You can still get it.
Yeah. You can go out there and get it. Apparently, I read a statistic once that nursing homes are a hotbed for venereal disease.
Whoa!
Because everyone's doing it.
Yes, everyone's doing it, mm-hmm. and nobody uses condoms.
No, why would they? They're like, what? This is the good times. So
right. like, like, I'm not going to get pregnant. Batter up!
I'm not going to waste some money.
Woohoo!
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's, to me, that makes me happy, actually, because I've always feared the dead zone, shall we call it. That's not really a good metaphor at all, but I think that makes me happy. I like that.
Yeah, I like it. I love it. Gives me something to look forward to. You know what? We have some comments on the message board that are, they're really, really helpful.
Okay.
Sim says, I had a May December romance. I was 21 and dated a woman 30 years older, very educational. I have to say, I am very pro younger men dating older women. I think it can be extremely educational. And somehow, I mean, although there's still the potential for abuse of power, it doesn't happen as often because that's not how power is typically wielded.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. Good
so,
for
yeah.
You, Sim.
Thanks,
Thank
Sim.
You.
Thank you,
for
Sim.
Chiming
Should we clap?
In.
Let's clap. Yeah. yeah. Thanks, Sim. Love your perspective. Feel free to call in.
Yeah.
And tell us about it. 201-536-9368. 201-536-9368. Dale has some advice for the Zoom meeting person.
Yeah, Dale, bring it. Thank you, Dale.
This person needs to find penis pictures of her supervisor online to use as ammo. I'm sure they're out there.
That is good.
But how would you identify them?
Oh, you could just, you lie again.
Go back, you know what I mean? Are you just going to Google supervisor's name, penis
no,
pics?
No, you could just get a rando dick pic and then go like, this
and
is
black
the supervisor's.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, what is someone going to check? Who's
going
to check?
Whoa. Imagine that meeting. Just imagine. Be some lawsuits. Lawsuits teed up. I don't know. I feel like that we just went to the dark side right there. I mean, Jen, you're like advocating that, you know, we just like that this person just rando blackmail, just find a pic of the D, some random pic of some random D out there and be like, this is my supervisor's. And while you're at it, why not just say it popped up during the Zoom meeting?
Yeah. You're like, I don't know what he was doing.
Damn. And also, that's assuming that the supervisor is a man.
Oh, that is a... Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at us adopting the patriarchy.
I know. Right, it's so there. Hard. It's so hard. Whoa. To scrub that patriarchy from our brains.
We literally were like,
my
oh,
Lord.
They're above you. They must be a dude. We're the...
We didn't assume that.
Oh, we didn't?
No, that was Dale who assumed
Dale.
That. Yeah.
Okay. Well, still, thanks for writing in, Dale.
Thanks for writing in, Dale. And I just want to commiserate with you or like sympathize with you. We all like have that patriarchy implanted in
yeah them. I did not bat an eyelash. I was like, of course Dale's right. Like, I didn't even think about it. Look at that. But I have a question. I want to put a pin in it. I don't really like that expression, but
I don't even know what it means.
I think it means like hold it. If anyone knows what it means, write and tell me. I think it means like hold it and we'll come back to it, I think.
Okay.
But I don't know where it comes from and I don't care for it. I don't know why I said it, but I would like to put a pin in that. And I don't understand the thrill of the dick pic. Mm-hmm. Is it for the receiver or is it for the giver? And if anyone has an opinion about this, I'd really like to know, sincerely. This is not something that I'm do or, you know, engage in. So I'm curious as to like, where's the thrill? Who's getting the juice? Or is it both ends? Is it the giver and the receiver? Sender and
well,
the receiver?
I mean, I would hope that it's both. You know what I mean? But and I think you answered the question that I was going to ask you, which is, have you ever received a pick of the D?
I did one time receive a pick of a bum. Someone's bum. And I was just more confused. I couldn't figure out what it was. It took me a really long time. I was like, what?
What did it look
this?
Like?
Well, it was taken, it was a selfie, so it was from a mirror. It was like from a back mirror, and I could not figure out what it was because it wasn't in context, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, what is going on here? And it took me a long time to figure it out. And then when I figured it out, I was like, well, it was also someone I wasn't into. So maybe that's like the thing. If you're into the person, then it's awesome.
Right. Well, I'm struggling to comprehend the context for this like rando picture of somebody's bum that wasn't even recognizable as a bum. Like there was no intro like, hey, got a surprise for you.
There was. It said there's the moon is out tonight. And like an idiot, I went to the window and was like, is it? And said something like, there's a full moon. I was so confused.
In my bedroom.
I did not get it. We broke up shortly thereafter.
Oh, it was somebody who were dating. Oh.
Yeah, it was like a new person too. It wasn't like
right.
It wasn't like a thing that we like, you know.
Right, traded.
Traded racing.
I have a pick of the D story, except that it's not. Okay, so I was hanging out with my friends like some time ago, and I had mentioned that I had never received a pick of the D. My friend took it upon himself to send me some like pics of the D, but they weren't actual. They were fake. They were completely phony D pics, but they looked real to me.
Yeah.
And I flipped out on this person. I started blast texting him. I was like, what are you doing? How dare you send me? Like, I mean, because nobody, if you don't want to receive one, if you don't actively want to receive one, you don't want to receive one. It is not cool to just have, you know, and one of them, I really should have known, because one of them was like, had a little birthday candle sticking out of the top.
Oh.
That should have been a dead giveaway. But, you know, on the internet, it's like, people do all kinds of crazy shiz, you know? So it did not read immediately to me as fake. So I was really pissed off. And he was like, those were all phony. Why are you so mad? And I was like, oh, I didn't know they were phony. Don't send me real looking phony pics.
So he meant it as a joke, like as a fun.
He meant it. Yeah, he meant it as a joke. Okay.
Right.
Let's circle back.
Okay.
Let's circle back to this problem. Because I think that there is some advice here. There's a work-related problem, which is something I love. I live for work-related problems. Oof. Okay. There are a number of ways you could go here, in my opinion. It is so, I am nervous just thinking about this scenario because I would be so mortified and so embarrassed so confused as to do I address it, do I not address it. I think that maybe you can get ahead of this problem a little bit.
Mm.
If your coworker really was super frosty to you, maybe you want to reach out to them and not just in case they didn't see it and you were just, you know, sensing frostiness when there was no frostiness because you were expecting frostiness because this incredibly embarrassing thing happened. But maybe you could just feel it out and be like, hey, I neglected to end my screen share with you. And I hope I didn't embarrass you with anything that came up. And if they didn't see anything, that will be an extremely confusing but harmless statement to make. And if they did see something, then it will be an opening for them to complain to you about it, like offload. I mean, basically, strategy would be to try to head it off at the pass before it reaches your boss, if you have one. If you don't have a boss, who cares? Nobody can fire you.
Right. That's good. I think it's good advice to sort of broach it without being super specific. And then they can talk, your coworker can talk about his or her feelings about it if they want to. And if they didn't see it, then you can just drop it.
If you were the coworker, Jen, what would you do? Not the person who was looking at pics of the sweet, sweet D, but like the coworker in question.
If I was the coworker in question. Oh, that is really, I'm really trying to think what I would do.
And like, let's set up your work situation a little bit. You don't really have a boss, right?
Okay.
Is that true?
Yes. Oh, in real life.
No, in real life,
I don't have a boss.
Okay.
See, and I most of the people I work with are friends or friendly, so I don't think it would stun me that much.
Mm-hmm.
I would sort of, I would probably think it was funny. Mm-hmm. But if it were a more like traditional work setting, then I might be a little bit more offended. Or you know what? Actually, too, if it was depending on who the person, like if it was my boss, I don't have a boss, but hypothetical boss, if it was them and I was their underling, then I might feel awkward.
Ooh, yeah. If it was your boss who was looking at pics of the sweet, sweet D.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tricky, because then what do you do? What I would do is bring it right up, because there's nothing I love better than taking bosses down a peg.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You are such a rebel. I am so not.
Yeah. I don't have a boss either anymore.
Have you ever had a boss?
Oh, I've had so many bosses.
That you've taken down pegs?
Bosses that I've taken down pegs. I've had bosses that I spoke firmly to because I didn't like the way that they were talking to me.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And I had a boss, the last boss I had, actually. I hope he's not listening. If he is, love you.
Don't mean any of this.
Right.
This is Jen.
But the last boss I had... I never tried to take him down a peg, because that would have backfired on me. It would have made my work situation more uncomfortable. And, you know, he would have definitely taken it out on me. But what I used to do is meet with my coworkers, because the boss would come up with all kinds of crazy ideas of how to, air quotes, improve our performance. And they were all completely crackpot ideas, and we all knew it, but we couldn't tell him no, because he would just dig in. So we would get together as a group and plot how to avoid his ideas and just yes him to death as we did whatever we wanted to do, and put our good ideas into practice.
Oh my!
It's called managing up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I am so impressed with you right now.
Well, it was a strategy that emerged
from the group.
From necessity. Yeah. And the group was really tight. A fun fact about that job. All of us were very close. I think in part because, I mean, they were all just really fun, awesome people that you'd want to hang out with after work, too. Like, just a bunch of kind of crazy people. Crazy people that were only marginally employable, but very passionate about the work that we did and the place that we worked.
Nice.
And, but everybody hated working there in a way, like, because of the boss and how difficult it was to...
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, it was the worst. So people would have a hard time quitting because there were a lot of good things about the job.
Yeah.
But one by one we're leaving, and everyone notices how much better their life is after they leave this place.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just found out that two more of my former coworkers quit yesterday. I found that out.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. I texted them right away. I was like, you won't believe how much you love your life. In a week, you'll stop being nervous about this. I want to read some more comments off the message board, because people have got some comments about the D. About the D picks. Yeah.
I want to hear what they have to say.
Well, okay. Mick from Montclair says, get ahead of it, so to speak. Which seconds my... I'm glad you feel that way too, Mick. I wouldn't know what else to do in that situation except to sort of, you know, feel it out, so to speak. Do do do. Queams says dongs are very unphotogenic.
I agree.
I agree.
Queens, I am all in with you here, my friend.
I agree. Even as like a dong lover,
yes.
I think they're very they're unphotogenic.
I totally
agree. They're sort of hard to get used to, you know. Jen, do you remember the first time you saw a dong?
Yes.
I do too. I was just like, that's weird.
I totally was that way too.
I think that looks so funny. I still think they look funny.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just this like dingly dangly, just hanging.
Just doing what? Yeah.
You know, my sexual organs are inside my body. So I, you know, I find it weird.
I found it stunning the first time. I was like, whoa.
Stunning.
Oh, what? Well, because you had been looking at men your whole life, like with pants on. Do you know? And so when you're like,
right.
Whoa, that is what you've been hiding? Like, this is this is stunning to me. Stunning.
Stunning. Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, I just, yeah, sometimes I feel a little bit, I do think it would be, I'm not going to finish that thought, but I do think it would be interesting to have one. I would love to have a dong for like a week. I would take the week off, I would stay inside, and
yes.
I would figure everything out about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I would try on all different kinds of underwear.
Yes.
I would see how double jointed I was. Anyway.
I would ride all kinds of vehicles and just to see like where everything landed, you know?
Right. Yeah. You know, biking. It's a thing.
Yes.
I do wonder about that.
Like what happens?
Yeah, where does it all go?
No, I totally agree with you.
Queams also says
yeah.
about the dongs.
Yeah.
The dong picks. I've gotten so many and they are super useless.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I have to say that I think that I do think that picks of the dong can be great if it's a dong you really like. Know what I mean? And if you have that kind of...
I've never been a big fan of the close-up of the bodily organ. That's just never my... go-to picture.
Right, okay, so you never want like pictures of hearts or livers,
nope.
lungs, no.
No,
don't send those.
Don't send
That's not hot.
I don't see a picture of your brain. Nope, don't want to see it.
Tyler has an interesting comment, which
Tyler.
I totally also agree with. The awkward screen share moment is approaching ubiquity. It's like spilling food on your shirt.
That, yes.
If it hasn't happened to you yet, it's coming,
to speak.
Tyler... This was kind of ruminating in the back of my brain, and I got to get on board with you here because I do sort of think it's like, you know, are we allowed to say fart on this radio?
Yes.
Program? Okay.
Yeah, you can
so
say
it's
fart.
Kind of like farting. It's like you do it, you're embarrassed, but everyone does it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that might be a similar, I agree with you.
I do think it's approaching a moment where if, you know, where somebody said this, I forget who, that we're approaching a moment where everyone will have risque pics of themselves online.
Right.
Everybody's going to get hacked.
Right.
There's going to be, like, evidence of you out there somewhere, and it's not going to be a thing at some point in the future.
Well, I kind of feel that way with, like, drugs. Like, I mean, or, like, getting high. Like, I think, like... Years ago, you couldn't be like a, you know, a politician if you got high. And then like Bill Clinton kind of changed that by saying he only inhaled or he didn't inhale or whatever. And then Barack Obama came out and said he had done drugs. You know what I mean? And now we're kind of all like, okay, some people do, some people don't. It's not the end of, it's not that big of a deal.
Very true. But I think that like one big difference between those two scenarios is that weed is quickly... becoming legal everywhere. Those dominoes are falling. But if you say you're underage, if you share a picture of your genitalia with somebody else who's underage.
You're both underage.
Say you're both underage.
Okay.
You can still, like, that is against the law. That
yeah.
is considered child pornography.
Yes.
That's considered trafficking in child pornography. I don't know how widespread that law is, but it is a law in places, and it's really... It's pretty scary when you think about it.
Yeah.
Bridget and Daisy has a great comment also. If someone accidentally shares a pic of their D, straightforward apology is in order. Consent should not be conditional or require the recipient to embarrass, agree, even has themselves by calling out the sender. Okay, I didn't quite understand the last half of the second sentence, but... Mm. I hear that point 100%. Maybe I'm going to revise my earlier ruling.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's real. That is real. Straightforward apology.
Straight. Yeah. You just got to go.
You can rarely go wrong with that one. A real apology.
Really, a real, like, I own it. I'm not making
an excuse. Yep, I own it. Yeah. And I require, like, you don't. Yeah. You know what? I mean, here's. I also wonder, like, I wonder how the recipient of that apology, I don't know. I guess you can never tell.
Wait, what do you mean? How?
Well, you know, if it's more embarrassing to the recipient of the apology to have it brought up. But that's really overthinking. It's really overthinking the angle, I feel. Right. Well, let's just go with the straightforward apology. Ruling amended.
I know. Wait, who gave us that? Bridget and Daisy?
Bridget and Daisy.
I think I'm going to rule with them.
Yeah.
Don't lie or whatever I said. That was crazy talk. What you guys are saying.
Oh, don't blackmail your innocent coworker.
I was
with some random D pic and be like, it's theirs. Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible advice, you guys. Do not take that.
Did we say, we didn't say it would all be good advice.
No, I think I said at the top, it wouldn't be.
We could take turns, good advice, bad advice. Do you know what I mean? One of us gives what we think is good advice. The other one gives unabashedly terrible advice. You know, hey, farmer guy, go marry your younger paramour and move to Budapest to farm. Do that. Like, commit to that. Don't give yourself give up your apartment. You know, have nothing to tie you to your former life at all.
Burn all your memories.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Jen, I just thought of like another piece of good advice for that. Well, that the dreaming farmer, they could just sublet the sweet apartment and then go try out. Okay, but I would say if you're going to go that route, sublet the sweet apartment. Do not marry. Do not. There's no reason to marry your paramour like just to move to Budapest. You know what I mean? If you want to, and I feel like if this person wanted to get married, then it wouldn't even be a thing. They wouldn't even bring up the question, should I get married and move to Budapest and, like, you know, be a farmer? It would, like, the marriage part would not even be in it. It would, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, like, you mean, like, you would just go, you would want, it would be so clear.
Right, if you really wanted to get married, you wouldn't be asking. Yeah, exactly, and it wouldn't be part of this enormous, I'm going to completely turn my life over and go from doing whatever I'm doing to being a farmer, which, as Jen pointed out, is not all pigtails and gingham and waking up at 10 a.m.
I mean, it should be. It really should.
Exactly.
If you could farm like that, I would quit everything and go right now.
Right.
If I could just do a 10 a.m. farm sitch with, like, perfect hair and, like, a gingham and, like, gentle sun, never raining.
Ooh, gentle sun and never raining.
Never cold, never too cold, never too hot. Mm-hmm. Bring it.
That sounds delicious.
From 10 to, like, noon, I'd farm my heart out.
Oh, that sounds sweet. Yeah, farmers work 2 hours a day. Yeah, I think that's real. I think that's totally real. But yeah, okay, so yeah, alternate ruling on that farming question. Hedge your bets. Sublet that apartment. Do not marry the person.
Are you allowed to sublet, though, if it's not your apartment? Because you can get in trouble for that kind of thing.
You can get in trouble, but people do it all the
time. That's true.
You know, you could do it legally. You can have a legal agreement if you're in a rent-stabilized apartment in New York City. See how full of advice we are?
You are so good.
That's right. We got knowledge. We got knowledge. Oh, shoot. Oh, my gosh. Jen, we have a call.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's so exciting. We're so excited.
A real person.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe not.
Do I know how to do this?
I don't know. You can do it.
All right.
Okay, if we hang up, call back.
Call back. I'm sorry. We got excited talking to each other. When I face Jen, I'm not facing the phone. So please call back. I'm dying to know what somebody was going to say.
I know. I wonder if they're going to weigh in or bring a new hot prob.
Yes, exactly. Darn, Jen. Fell asleep at the switch, man.
You literally.
Here's some advice.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't fall asleep at the switch.
Always check
keep your
phone.
Eyes. Keep your eyes glued to that blinking light. Yeah. Well, you know, we're new.
Yeah.
We're new at this radio game.
How it's new. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten?
Damn.
I can't really even. I hate superlatives.
The best piece of advice I've ever gotten. You know, I've received a lot of advice over time that basically amounted to don't worry about it too much. And that is some great advice. Oh, I remember a really good piece of advice I got. I remember I was like in my early 20s. I had my first job at a college. And I was complaining about being in my 20s. And my coworker, who was in his 30s, said, the 20s stink. Okay, we're going to take a call.
Oh, we got a call.
Hi, you're on Hot Provs.
Hey, I wanted to call in with a question.
Go for it. So excited. What's your name?
I'd like to keep my name private.
Oh, well, you can completely give us a fake name. We'll never know the difference.
It's a juicy question.
So I recently started dating a woman who does not have a history of dating other women, which is fine. However, it's come to my attention that she's dated a lot of women in a very small time span, and a lot of them did not end very well. I take a little pause because I never want to question anyone's sexual, finding out what their sexuality is. But I still also, being on the other end of it, don't want to get hurt from this. And, you know, I'm all for people exploring. It just seems like maybe it's not coming from the right place. And I just don't know how to broach this subject with her, or if it's none of my business altogether and we're just in, our relationship is independent of her history.
Okay. Oh. Wow. This is a very thoughtful question. Yeah. And I have some questions of my own. Mm-hmm. So they've dated a bunch of women in a short period of time. That's a recent period of time?
I think in like the last like 3, maybe 4 months.
Okay. And so they just started, this woman just started dating other women.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And they've dated a bunch of women in a short period of time. And and you guys are dating, or you're thinking about dating this person?
No, we just started dating. Okay. It's only been a few weeks, but, the circle's kind of small. I've been hearing some not so great things about her previous relationships with other women.
Got it. Like things that are not so great. And what kind of not so great are we talking about? And you don't have to get specific, but just give me an idea of the range of not so great. Like not so great, like this person is very flaky, or not so great as in this person's a stalker.
What flavor of not great?
Yeah.
Maybe not being tactful, or cutting things off too quickly, or establishing that, she wants a relationship with somebody and then just kind of, just pieces out on them. Misleading herself maybe is the best way of putting it. It just maybe seems like she needs some validation, perhaps, or she just came out of, maybe a bad relationship with a guy, and this is her way of sort of working shit out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But from all accounts, she doesn't end things very well. And seems to move on from one lady to the next quite with frequency.
Mm-hmm. Jen, I got some thoughts on this one, but I'm curious to what you think.
I think I would take a page from Bridget and Daisy, and I would just do the straightforward honesty. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you are, you've heard it from other people, but you haven't heard it. Do I understand that correctly? You haven't heard it directly from her?
No.
No, you have not heard it from her?
What directly that?
Like she didn't tell you about these past relationships.
Oh no.
See, that's what I would. I would, because you. I mean, hearsay is hearsay. Do you know what I mean? And people love to gossip. Remember, I'm raising my hand. I love to gossip. So you don't know like what is true and what is not true, and what her perspective is, and maybe there's another side to the story. So I would say my non-licensed advice is I would ask her directly about past relationships and where she stands. And then my second thing that I'm curious as to, or maybe I'm hearing or whatever, is the fear of things ending badly. But like, I think any relationship you enter into, there's that possibility. So I just think sometimes you got to go, is it worth it? Because like, am I enough into this person that like, yeah, it could end badly. Most times relationships, whether they're 6 months or 10 years, do end in some way badly. So Yeah, I mean, every relationship, either, you know, you break up or you die. Like, that's the end of every single relationship. Either both people die, one person dies, or you break up. That's it. No surprise. So I think that maybe, and I'm not, you know, insinuating this, but maybe sit with yourself and say, like, am I just a little fearful to give it a go? You know, maybe just dive in and give it a go. And if it ends badly, you get some Ben and Jerry's and some Netflix, and then you go on to the next person. If you like her enough.
On the other hand.
Oh, here we go. Bring it.
I mean, I want a second Jen taking a page out of Bridget and Daisy's book with the honesty. I think you could bring it up, you know, bring up, you know, or ask in a straightforward way, like, so what's your history dating women like, and see what this person says. But my sort of feeling is that you have some information. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some data here. And I think you know, I think that you're feeling that, even though it's speculation, but I think that you're feeling that maybe this person is not, regardless of what their motives are, they have not treated the women that they have dated very well. Do you correct. Know what I mean? Yeah. So I would say, take that information. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you do, like, whether or not you decide to you know, continue dating this person, I would say definitely ask them about, you know, their relationship experiences so far. But I have to say that, you know, and we have to keep in mind that it's kind of scuttlebutt, and, you know, the community is small. Mm-hmm. There's going to be scuttlebutt, but it doesn't sound, it's not very, I don't have a favorable impression either. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, about their, like, respect and consideration for women that they're dating. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, ladies. This
oh, my gosh.
Helpful.
So I'm saying go for it. You're saying give it a...
I'm not saying don't go for it. I'm just saying proceed, you know,
with
proceed with eyes yeah. open.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the takeaway for me is, you know, broach the subject and just ask her about her previous experiences and go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's wise.
Good luck.
Good luck.
I hope
yeah.
it works out.
Thank you.
I hope she just had some false starts, but now she's open and ready to go.
Yeah.
Cool. Same here.
Thanks for calling in.
You
Bye.
Got it. Bye.
Wow. I hope things work out for those two crazy kids.
I do, too.
But I don't think they will.
Well,
I think the caller really has, like, a good head on her shoulders.
Yes.
And that she is ready for... She sounds like she could communicate very well. And I just don't know if this person that she started dating is up to speed on that.
Although, have you ever ended something bad, like... If you had like a period where you were, you know, maybe doing a bunch of like things that if then you met somebody that you were ready to like, you know, really date, and they'd heard about your previous period, they would think something different about you that's necessarily.
No. I mean, in my experience, if I, you know, the periods where I've acted badly, I was acting badly, and it didn't have anything to do with the people I was dating.
It had to do with
the best person could have popped up at that moment, and I still would have acted the same damn way.
You just weren't ready.
Just wasn't
or
ready.
Or into it. Or
just wasn't ready.
It.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So I don't think it's a, oh, it's the magical one. And the, you know what I mean? I think it's, you know, whatever. People are at a place.
Right.
And they act from that place.
I like that advice.
Know what I'm saying?
I like it. Yeah. I like it. No,
Do we do it?
No, I do hear what you're saying. I totally hear what you're saying.
We have a few minutes left, and I want to just shout out to a few people on the message board. Jake Gould says, if you are rent stabilized, don't just toss that away.
Jake, I'm there with you, my friend.
Yup. Ken from Hyde Park has a question. If I may, what's a good way to keep ants out of the kitchen? If I toss sugar out into the yard, they'll be well fed and have no reason to come inside looking for sweets. That's how it works, right? Sim has more good advice. Boric powder, boric acid.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've heard that, too.
Uh-huh, works for cockroaches, too. Yeah, you know what it does? The cockroaches eat it, and then it acts like ground glass. It's like they ate ground glass, and it makes them shrivel up and die.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's pretty intense. It's a little intense. All right. We have 2 minutes, and I think – no, we're going to talk for one more minute and then do our outro and station identification, John.
All right.
Going to milk this.
We'll be back in a year and make sure to
– That's right.
Loosen up again in 1 year.
Oh, I hope we come back sooner. I hope we have more problems, more and even better problems. Although, darn, I have to say, I think the two problems we opened with were really, they were hot probs.
Yeah,
Those were some hot probs.
The mailbag was melting.
It was melting. Could only fit two problems in it. It was just flaming in our hands.
Burning problems.
That's right.
Thank you to everybody who called in.
Yeah, word. This has been, I'm Veronica.
I'm Jen.
Thanks for calling into Hot Probs. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
I fill with tears. Wish I could go back and change these years.
What a beginning. Welcome to Radio Vert. My name's Nicole, and I'm going to read you a touching story today about the perhaps end of the world. This is a story called Waiting Out at the End of the World in Patty's Place Cafe by Naomi Kreitzer, and she is a Hugo Award-winning author, which again means that this is a really freaking good story. So let me get to it. I ran out of gas in Belfouche, South Dakota, just 200 miles short of Pierre, my goal. Pierre, South Dakota, I mean. I wasn't trying to get to someone named Pierre. I was trying to get to my parents, and Pierre was where they lived. I thought maybe that given that the world was probably ending in the next 24 hours, they'd want to talk to me. I'd taken back roads almost the whole way from Spokane, hoping to avoid the traffic jams. I also figured the out-of-the-way gas stations would run out of gas less quickly. That turned out to be true for a while. The problem was that the back roads gas stations weren't getting deliveries either. The last gas I'd found was in Billings. If they'd let me fill up, I might have been able to make it all the way to Pierre on that tank, but the owner, who was overseeing the line with a large gun hanging over his shoulder, was only letting people buy 8 gallons of gas per car. Admittedly, that probably wasn't the only reason they were completely out. I turned my car off and checked my map. Belfouche was just 12 miles from I-90. I didn't know exactly how much gas I still had, but the low fuel light had been on for a while, and I wasn't sure I could make it that far. I tried calling the gas station along the interstate, but of course no one was picking up. If you had 16 hours to live, would you spend that time working at a gas station? I rubbed my eyes, numb with fatigue and fear. If nothing else, maybe I could find somewhere in Belfouche to get coffee.
I'm feeling mighty lonesome, haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee.